Mini episode 649 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 649. It's your favorite football talkers in all the universe, Rick Morris and Kyle Ross here, break down NFL week 13 for you, for me last week. And an 8-8 week, it was good at points, it was bad at points. 0-3 on my big three, regrettably 0-1 on my lock pick. That 0-3, by the way, included two dogs. That'll teach me, I guess. My overall numbers for the year, 93, 79, and 4 overall. Still on pace to be profitable at the end of the year on all the games, if you can believe it or not. 17 and 19 on my big three, 5-7 on my locks. The less said about those two categories, the better. For Kyle Ross last week, it was a tough week, but 35-32-1 for the season. I won't say that number any more clearly than that. A tough week.
Oh, that's okay.
A Haley's Comet week for my man, and I tell you what, I've said this before about myself. When I've been going really, really well, I had this point last year. I said, jump off and start going the other way. My advice right now is the opposite. Double down on everything K-Dog tells you the rest of the way here. Because the progression to the mean is coming.
Well, a couple funny things about that. I wonder if you're going to reiterate those sentiments about doubling down when you hear who my picks are this week. Because, oh, baby, they all got beat up with the ugly stick last week. Oh, boy.
Some of the ones I disagree with.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. But anyway, it's kind of funny, right before we came on the air, about 20 minutes here, I just wolfed down a meatball sando from Subway. And the irony there is that it was sometime last Sunday that I felt I had a foot-long meatball sando go up the other hole, if you know what I mean. So, it was pretty ugly. Not that there's anything wrong with that, mind you, but definitely
I thought there was a Jared joke in there somewhere.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it was.
Exactly.
You know what was funny? It's funny that you say, teach me to ever go with dogs again. I was on a lot of games that were in the pick'em range, and they were just bad plays in retrospect. I think I texted you midweek, because I wasn't on last week. We just kind of did a quickie thing, and I just sort of rushed. I was busy, and not to make excuses, they were just all stupid picks, really. I mean, in retrospect, there's only one of them that I think was defensible, that being Atlanta, which still lost fairly handily. But if I could do it all over again, I would, obviously. It's easier to say in retrospect. But let's do it again. Another big card. This is similar to a couple weeks ago when I gave out a ton of plays, I think like 9, and I went like 6-3 or something like that. I'm anticipating, well, I know it's high volume, but I'm anticipating similar results again.
Okay.
Positive.
So the classic lament of the handicapper, Kyle Ross, if I had it to do all over again, I wouldn't have lost.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah.
All right, well,
certainly not,
I know
this
will be a better week for the both of us, I know, lies ahead here. And we're going to skip the Thursday night game for the time being because that involves one of the plays. Yes, we go here first. To the Battle of New York, New York. It's the 6-5 Jets at the 5-6 Giants. 1 o'clock Eastern time from MetLife Stadium on CBS. Eagle Fouts Washburn, the call past guest of the Lounge Eye and Eagle, by the way. And this is a game where the Jets are laying 2 points in what had been a pick'em game initially. And it is going to be a vital game in the playoff race for both teams. Can't say that very often when these teams match up, but this is a time when both of them are right in the thick of it. And credit to USA Today Sports Weekly. The thing here that helped me when I was perusing through the stats here, number crunching, Jets record when they forced two or more turnovers, 6-0, 0-5 in games with 1 or 0 takeaways. Eli Manning had a tough week last week, but he's still got only 9 INTs for the year. Feels like he's due to get some more. Against the secondary, would you think there's a decent opportunity of that? Jets get the turnovers. I like the Jets here. I know you like to abuse me for taking road favorites here, but maybe not when they're at the Meadowlands, Kyle Ross. Jets minus 2.
Yeah, there really is no road favorite or home. I mean, yeah, it's a neutral site game. This is the NFL's only neutral site game other than the Super Bowl.
Yes.
I don't like this game at all, and I'm passing. I'll say this. Revis is having some concussion issues, so he may not be there for the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, I'd like to make a case for the Giants, but I can't. This is a game I looked at earlier in the week, and I was like, all right, let me try to make a case for the Giants, because I saw the money's kind of going the other way, at least I thought, but as I inspected things closer, betting on this game has been pretty much 50-50, but it's going in favor of the Jets pretty heavily, which means some of the bigger bets are probably on the guys in green. Now, there was a significant adjustment from the advance line by the lines makers on this game. You talked about it opening as a pick. Some shops even opened the Jets minus 1. So it looks like the smart money's on the Jets here. I'm going to pass, though, because, you know, anytime a team's off an impressive win like they were last week against, you know, your boy Dan Campbell, funny how he's going right down the tubes, you kind of want to fade him, but I don't know. I just got – there's nothing, absolutely nothing for me to sink my teeth into with this Giants team. A Giants team that, oh, by the way, Rick Morris, has been outgained in 9 of 11 games this year. That's not very good.
Ooh.
Ironically, though, and I've talked about this interesting dichotomy with them, how they're so hard to get a handle on. Last week against Washington, first game all year that at no point did they have a lead, the Giants. So I'm punting on this one. This is one of the hardest games to evaluate this week, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's a number of them that are fairly tough. We go next to what might perhaps be termed the Biorhythms game of the week. It's the 5-6 Falcons at the – sorry, the 6-5 Falcons, Freudian slip. 6-5 Falcons at the 5-6 bucks, 1 o'clock Eastern time, Raymond James Stadium in Tampa on Fox. Dick Stockton, David Deal, Christina Pink on the call here in Tampa, and this is a game where the Bucs are laying 2 points. Again, a pick 'em initially, kind of a trend here in our first two games, but in this instance it's the home team that subsequently becomes the favorite. And this is a game, you look at it, we all know that the Falcons have biffed us pretty badly when we've taken them here recently, losers of the last 4 games, Bucs winners of the 3 of the last 5, which seems monumental when you consider where they started. And I know they kind of started to go the other way last week, but I just feel like this is sort of a correction game for both teams. I just kind of have this feeling. It's hard to make any kind of affirmative case for the Falcons at this point, so I don't think I'm even going to try. But I get the sense they've bottomed out, and I get the sense that the Bucs are going to continue leveling off at least for another week here. So I will take Atlanta getting the 2 on the road.
I'm with you, and it's a recommendation for me first this week.
Put me down.
At plus 2. Atlanta's, because I've been wrong on them a couple times in the last 2, I actually had them each of the last 2 weeks, and they lost. The issue is really simple, because I've watched a great deal of both those games. Matt Ryan just simply doesn't value the football. I mean, I don't mean to sound like an ass, but he throws not just a lot of interceptions, but he does so at the worst time. I'm fairly confident that he leads the league this year in number of interceptions thrown in the end zone. I mean, those are the most costly of interceptions, and they're really bad plays for a guy who, you know, maybe it's because of the team he plays for, they're kind of not a national team under the radar. He doesn't get criticized as much as some of these other guys, but wow, I mean, he's played very poorly. But you want to make a case for Atlanta? How about this? Devonta Freeman's coming back this week, which I think is huge, because Tevin Campbell is not an adequate replacement, in my opinion. He also does not value the football. The Bucs, interesting. I picked them for 9 wins before the start of the year. They're not going to get there, but I think they're going to be relatively close. I'm still confident that they're going to go over their projected 6-win total, like I said. But, yeah, they slip up here, even though, you know, they've kind of struggled at home the last 2 years. You'd think that maybe, you know, that's due to even out. But what's more likely to even out here, Rick, Atlanta, 7 straight games not covering. That's a really long streak. You don't see that very often. So Falcons do get back on track, because if they don't, we don't have much of an NFC wild card race, do we?
No, we don't. No, we don't. Like I said, I didn't have affirmative reasons to get down on them, but I do now after listening to what you said there. So we both agree on that one. We move next to this was quite a battle in the 1980s. Not so much these days. The 3-8 49ers at the 5-6 Bears, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Soldier Field on Fox. Five-time lounge guest Kenny Albert on the call, along with Daryl Moose Johnston and the lovely Tan Laura Oakman. And in this contest, the Bears of Chicago are laying 7 and have been 6.5 points initially. And this is another one where, again, looking on the surface, it kind of points you in one direction. The Bears have been hot lately, and you look at what they did against Green Bay, which really, really shocked me, I have to say. But the 49ers, you know, I've gone against them a couple times this year. They're just that annoying penis puncher team that's not very good. But against the spread, they're better than they should be, essentially. And because they're just not as putrid as they look on the field a lot of times here. Defensively, they've played fairly well. Unlike USA Today Sports Weekly, I'm not ready to start hobbing the knob of Blaine Gabbert yet, but he's been surprisingly competent, I think we'll say that. Yeah, they've been all over him, Kyle, and I find that revolting.
That's a mistake.
Yeah, he may give them just enough to keep it close in like a dumbed-down 49ers-style 20-16 game. I'll take the 49ers reluctantly to sneak inside the 7.
Woo. Wow, this was an easy pass for me. Every week there's a game I just glance at the line and say no thank you, and for me, it was this one. Here's the thing. I should have taken San Francisco next week. You talk about being upset. I really thought that they'd give Arizona a run for their money at home, and I'll tell you why. Very strong home-road dichotomy with the 49ers, Ricky. Their defense is shockingly good at home. They're allowing less than 17 points per game there. But on the road, it is a different story. This team is being outscored by 21 points per game on the road. They have not won on the road all year. It's an early game to boot in the Windy City. So I'm not interested in the dog here. But I'm not interested in the favorite either, as Chicago, I don't believe, has been favored in a game all year.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to look at the first couple weeks. But I don't think they've been favored at all this year. And they're being asked to lay a full touchdown. Not interested in that. You're right. This one does have the feel of win but no cover for the Bears. But I'm not going to make any kind of recommendation here.
That's probably smart on your part if you don't have to. Up next, a central battle in the wild card race.
That sounded really snotty that, oh, if you don't have to. That had the feel of, oh, since you don't want to play by my rules on the show, I guess you'll just go ahead and do that.
No, I'm not saying anything. It's just like you're playing by a different set of rules. That there's, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, if I may invoke the Seinfeldism again here. So, no, listen, if I wasn't picking every game, I certainly wouldn't be on that one either, nor would I be on this next one, which is tough, a central battle in the wild card hunt in the NFC this year. It's the 6-5 Seahawks at the 8-3 Vikings. Two teams that I said at the beginning of the year would be in it all the way. 1 o'clock Eastern time from TFC Bank Stadium in Minneapolis on Fox. Kevin Burkhardt, John Lynch, and the delicious Pam Oliver on the call for this one here. Yet another of these Pick'em specials here for this week. This one has stuck at Pick'em for a while here. And I look at this, I look at how central Adrian Peterson has been to what the Vikings have done thus far this year, how much they have relied on him, and this is the first time, I think, in the Pete Carroll era where we can say this, and it's surprising to me that the run defense has been better than the pass defense for the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. I still don't exactly know what's wrong there, but I think that's going to disrupt the fragile ecosystem that is the Minnesota offense at this point. They're going to be needing Bridgewater to do a little bit more at a time when maybe the Seattle secondary is progressing to the mean. I will take the Seahawks on the road here in the Pick'em game straight up.
This is the only battle of top 10 teams, according to my rankings. I've got Seattle tied for 7. I've got Minnesota 10. I'm coming around on Minnesota. I I yield to you that it is looking like it's going to be a playoff campaign. I think when we look back at their season, Ricky, and it's, you know, I laugh kind of to myself sometimes because it's so obvious to me why you would like this team, because they basically do what you think. They're the least confusing team in the league, I think, if that makes sense. In that, when we go back and look at their season, when it's all said and done, we're going to see that they basically just beat every team they should and that they were probably undervalued in all those games. This is tough for me. Like, as you know, if I wasn't a betting man, this is the game I would be looking forward most to this week, because I think it's going to be great. I'm with you, too. I think Minnesota's offense is not built to take advantage of the deficiencies going on right now in Seattle secondary. Teddy Bridgewater's weakness is the deep ball. And the Vikings receiving corps still doesn't really scare me. I know Stephon Diggs was a bit of a steal in the middle rounds of the draft, but I don't think he alone is going to be able to, you know, carry this team vertically. So I'm passing here. I think, you know, it really is. And this is a genuine pickup to me. I would, that's probably where I would have this line. Minnesota maybe again undervalued at home, but I don't know. They're due to drop a game here or two, I still think. I still see Green Bay winning the division. I really do.
I actually do, too. I've got Minnesota getting in as a wild card right now.
I'll say this. If Minnesota wins this game, they're a lock for the playoffs, because who are they competing with for the wild card? Seattle and Atlanta.
Seattle.
They would have beaten them both. I mean, that was a huge win they picked up last week in the Georgia Dome. So things are looking good for the Vikings. I was wrong in social distortion thing so many years ago.
Well, you've been right about other things as well. You were right about the Chiefs, and we'll get to that subsequently. The team that I would call...
Oh, yes, we will.
Yes, the team I would call the poor man's Chiefs right now in terms of the run that they're on, the 6-5 Texans at the 5-6 Bills. I'll call them the poor man's Chiefs because they have Brian Hoyer there, just by definition. 1 o'clock Eastern time, Ralph Wilson Stadium in Orchard Park, New York on CBS. Bureau Dita Solomon Wolcott's on the call. Buffalo is laying the standard... boring sort of missionary position, 3 points at home to Houston right now. And in a sense, I was kind of surprised about that, because I thought there might be enough public sentiment on the hot Texans to bring it inside of that 3 points. But maybe people are looking at this the same way I am. Much like the Tampa Bay and Atlanta game before, I'm getting sort of a biorhythms feel about this. It seems like a good time to sell on the Texans, maybe a decent time to buy on the Bills when you look at how they've both been playing recently here. And, again, I go back to my Bills bully theory from earlier in the year. That's what keeps this from being one of my big three picks for the week, because I'm going against it. The Bills are bullies who are able to punch weak, lesser teams in the mouth. Teams that have the defense, at least, of Houston, they don't tend to do as well against the more physical, capable teams. And, again, Houston certainly is that on one side of the ball. Nevertheless, I'm on the Bills here laying the 3 points.
The early money did come here on Houston. I don't think it's going to move inside of three, though, at this point, because it's not totally lopsided. Houston, the rare public dog, though, which has had mixed results over the last couple weeks. I, too, wanted to make a case for the Bills here, kind of from a biorhythms perspective. But are you aware that in three of the last four games, Houston's only allowed 6 points?
They've been red hot.
I mean, you know, again, you talk about things I've been right on, things I've been wrong on. You know, Brian Hoyer is not going to take you to a Super Bowl. He's probably not going to win you a playoff game. But he's been Ryan Mallett. I'll tell you that. I think Bill O'Brien made a wise choice. And if this team actually got a real quarterback, say, in the draft next April or May, whatever it is, I think you're looking at a team that could possibly unseat Indianapolis atop the AFC South for years to come, as I think overall their roster's better. But for this game, I'm just a little weary of the Texans for a lot of the same reasons you stated. But I can't endorse the Bills because this number is right. I know that you often poo-poo the vanilla three-point line, but it is accurate here. I have these two teams right next to each other in my power rankings. So three is about accurate. And I just don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored here. So I certainly don't want to be laying a field goal in a game like that. So pass again.
Okay. All right. That brings us to a battle of disappointments. It's the 4-7 Ravens at the 4-7 Dolphins. 1 o'clock Eastern time, Sun Life Stadium in Miami on CBS. Andrew Catalan, Steve Tasker, Steve Berline on the call. Shocking to me, in just eyeballing this, that if the Ravens win, they're back at 5-7 in what was looking to be the worst football season in Baltimore in decades. But this line, Miami is laying 4 points down from 4.5 initially. And my sense in looking at it is I think with Miami having made the second jarring move of the year with firing their offensive coordinator, having earlier jettisoned their head coach, I feel like there may be a little bit of a steroid effect coming here. We may, by putting different eyes on this and getting different play calling, be seeing something different happening here. For Baltimore, classic letdown scenario, short week. I'm taking Miami laying the 4.
This is another pass for me. God, I guess I'm just going to be recommending all the remaining games. We're getting all my passes out of the way, so keep listening on, people. I have the Ravens rated kind of significantly better, actually, in my rankings. I have them at 18th, while Miami's down to 27. Miami's been outgained in all but 2 games this year. They're not a good football team. Interestingly, I know you love your history, Rick, even when it involves, you know, a litany of different players who have, will have no bearing on the game here this week. I don't think the Ravens have ever failed to cover against the Dolphins since they returned to the league. I could be wrong. I think they're 5-0. I don't know how many times they – I guess if they played a bunch more times in the late 90s than I'm aware of, then that might be wrong. But I know Baltimore's 5-0 straight up and against the number the last 5 times they played the Dolphins. But you do bring up a good point with the short week. You know, everyone was counting them out on Monday night. Everyone was going against them in Cleveland, and they picked up, you know, as much as Browns fans want to scream, why me? You know, the Ravens were kind of owed that one, given the fact that all they do is play close games, and they've lost the majority of them. So I'm going to pass here. I don't want to endorse your boy Dan Campbell, but at the same time, I can certainly understand your point about the short week and everything. And also Baltimore, the rare public dog. I mean, Baltimore's getting a lot of love plus the points here, which, you know, kind of scares me off a bit.
Yeah.
The betting percentages, while the line hasn't moved, which is interesting, the betting percentages are 71-29 in favor of the Ravens right now.
Okay.
At least according to Sports Insights. So.
Well, more points there in favor of the man who is the perennial winner of My Coach Can Beat Up Your Coach, Dan Campbell. So take Dan Campbell and the Fighting Fish this week, laying the 4 points. Up next,
I bet he can't out-coach the other coach.
That's more of a 50-50 proposition. Up next, the other team that I root for to even more dismal effect.
50-50.
The 9-2 Bengals at the 2-9 Browns, ostensibly the Battle of Ohio, but who's kidding who? 1 o'clock Sunday from, I still call it, Cleveland Browns Stadium in Cleveland on Fox. Justin Kutcher, Matt Millen, Peter Schrager on the call for Fox. And this is a game where the Bengals are laying 9 points up from 7 initially. You talked before about teams that would improve next year with a change of quarterback. You mentioned that in terms of Houston. I've been saying for weeks now, I've been preaching to all my friends, my slogan for 2016 is turn your head and cough for Goff. I want Jared Goff in a Browns uniform next year. I realize with the rest of the organization being a dumpster fire, that alone won't save anything, but hey, first things first. And looking at this one here, I'm just not even going to get into the nuances of this because I don't think there are any. Not only is it a short week for the Browns, but this is a team that is just hugely, hugely decimated on every front right now. Psychologically, injuries, coaching has been dog crap. On down the line, Cincinnati's on a mission. I've been saying it all year. They're a different team. This could be a look-ahead game under normal circumstances. It won't be. The Bengals aren't looking past the Browns, and that's bad news for my Brownies. I will take the Bengals reluctantly, laying the 9.5 to roll.
Now, did they tell you that they're not looking ahead of the Browns? I mean, how do you know that?
Well, I've been following.
Did Marvin Lewis call the FDH lounge earlier this week, and you didn't tell me that until now?
I have
never
my sources.
Heard of this. Oh, well, I've heard it all now. I'm not going to disagree with anything you just said, except the part where you took the Bengals. I'm recommending the Browns this week. For all the reasons that I normally would recommend a 9.5 point division dog at home. I'm playing not the teams. You know, more often than not, this works for me. I mean, to me, this game is almost identical to Arizona-San Francisco last week. Almost identical. You just have I know it's a much better team on one side, and they have every conceivable edge a football team can have over the other. But, man, division teams laying more than a touchdown on the road just do not cover very often. Maybe this one will, but I'm going to roll with history. I'm going to take the Browns. I know they're starting Austin Davis instead of Johnny Manziel. I don't really think that means much, to be quite honest with you. I just see the Bengals being a little overvalued in this spot, and they're a huge public play this week with 80% of the people taking them. So I'm on the Browns for my second recommendation of the week.
Okay. Up next, it's a battle in the AFC West. It's the 6-5 Chiefs at the 5-6 Raiders. According to USA Today Sports Weekly, Brett Gumbel, Trent Green, and Marilyn Erdahl on the call. I thought it was Jamie Erdahl, but what do I know? A 4:05 Eastern time from Ocho Coliseum in Oakland on CBS. And in this one, Kansas City is laying 3 points on the road. And, again, kind of a – not to go back and overplay this again – a little bit of a biorhythms kind of feel to this game, more so just that, scientists like to talk about, have we reached peak oil? Have we reached peak oil? I think we've reached peak Chiefs, at least for now. They've been on a red-hot streak for a while. They're laying 3 on the road. Okay, you're good Chiefs, but I don't know exactly how good you are. Now, it doesn't hurt matters, by the way, that they can continue to plug in the equivalent of Heisman Trophy candidates at running back, injury after injury somehow or another. They're getting production from the no-names there, so it doesn't seem to matter who's running behind that line. But I'm just going to go against peak Chiefs. Give me Oakland getting the 3 at home.
You might be right here. I'll tell you this, though. Before the year, I said Kansas City would go be 10-6 and the top wild card team in the AFC. I think that's where they're going to finish. Have you looked at their schedule? After this game, they got 3 of 4 at home. They got San Diego, Baltimore, who's all beat up. That's the lone road game. And then they close with Cleveland and Oakland again, but both those games are in KC. I don't see them losing more than one game the rest of the way. This could be the slip-up. I will agree with you. But I'm actually, for a guy who loves me some home dogs, this game's priced pretty correctly. When you look at the 5 teams competing for the wild card in the AFC, the other 3, I think we would all agree, are Pittsburgh, the Jets, and who am I forgetting? Kansas City, Pittsburgh, the Jets, Buffalo, and Oakland. I would rank Kansas City first among those teams and Oakland last. So this one's adequately priced, and I'm staying away.
All right. Up next, another battle in the AFC West. It's the 9-2 Broncos at the 3-8 Chargers, 4:05 Eastern Time Sunday. Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego on CBS. Kevin Harlan, Rich Gannon on the call. Denver is laying 4 points up from 3 initially. The fact that they're laying more points here, I talked a second ago about peak Chiefs. Are we getting in the near term to peak Osweiler? Okay, I've been saying all along, I think that this guy may deserve more credit than people were giving him over the years as far as, oh boy, they're going to be screwed when Peyton Manning goes, but I don't know. Is his stock getting a little bit inflated in the near term? We're only now starting to get film on him. Doing what he did in New England and Belichick kind of proves that. So I proved last week I was not afraid. They've burned me more times than anybody this year, the San Diego Chargers. I'm the original bitter clinger here, but give me the Chargers getting the 4 points at home against Osweiler.
Oh, that makes me smile so much, Ricky. I thought if there was one home dog this year that I've been confident you were going to take, it was going to be this one. And what? I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to agree with you, although this is probably my least favorite recommendation of the week just because San Diego's off a win. But close games, how variable teams' records in close games can be and how, stretched over some period of time, they'll always even out. Well, Denver's now 7-1 in close games this year, those decided by 8 points or less. San Diego is one of the worst in that department, even after last week's win, which I think came by 8 points, if I'm not mistaken, against Jacksonville. They're still only 3-6, regardless here. I'm looking at my sheet. They're still only 3-6. I'm with you on the Osweiler thing. I don't think he beat the Patriots. as a guy who actually wound up taking Denver in a desperate situation Sunday night, I'll admit the refs were a little generous towards the Broncos in that game. There was a fumble, too. This is a road game. Division. And the line's been funny here. So this is what makes it my least favorite. Denver was originally going to be laying 6.5. Then the lines makers opened it where you said, and then it's been bet kind of back up. Denver's a pretty big public play this week, so there's a lot going on here, but I'm going to take the points with the Chargers team that, you know, I think can still give the Broncos some trouble, despite all their injuries. Phillip Rivers is still a better quarterback than Brock Osweiler.
Definitely. We agree on that. 7 games to go here, starting with the 11-0 Panthers at the 4-7 Saints. 4:25 Eastern Time, Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans on Fox. Tom Brenneman, Charles Davis, Tony Siragusa on the call. Carolina laying 7 on the road. My theory is this. Going back to last year, you remember all the – now, this worked the other way last year because the Saints dumped game after game that we thought they were going to win at home. Is there a building in football over the last year and a half that's had more weird anti-scientific crap happening in it than the Mercedes-Benz Superdome? I'll submit to you that there's not. Weird things happen there. Panthers will stub their toe somewhere. Why not here? Give me the Saints minus the 7 or plus the 7, and you can tell from the tone of how I'm laying this out that I think they may not even need it for reasons I can't even explain.
Oh, I love it, Rick Lewis. You're saying. I'm recommending them too. Give me the Saints. It makes no sense. But look, the Panthers aren't going to win every game. And after they just destroyed Dallas on Thanksgiving, the public is like betting them like it's going out of style. Yet the line's not really moving that much. Could there be some smart money on the Saints? By the way, do yourself a favor, folks. I always recommend this book because they give you the best underdog lines. 5 dimes will give you a hook if you're willing to pay a little bit more. If you're willing to lay a little extra juice, you get 7.5 with the Saints. Remember, with Luke McCown, New Orleans almost beat Carolina in Carolina earlier this year. You're getting Drew Brees a touchdown at home. I think the Saints, some of the old Saints magic just for 1 week, cover. And you're right. I wouldn't be surprised if they handed them a loss here, their first of the season.
We both have that feeling, no question. Up next, the 4-7 Eagles at the 10-1 Patriots, 4:25 Eastern Time, Gillette Stadium on Fox, and it is Buck Aikman Andrews on the call, the A team for Fox in this game. New England is laying 10, down from 13 initially, and both teams coming off of dispiriting losses last week. I would say the Eagles won more dispiriting than the Patriots won because Gronk isn't out long-term. Their season was on the brink if anything really happened to him serious at this point. He's week to week. Don't expect to see him here. But I think it's a get-well game for the Patriots. The Eagles, I had thought that they were going to rally on Thanksgiving, get it done.
Yep.
They continue to find new depths at this point. And I don't think they're at rock bottom. And I think giving an angry Bill Belichick a week to get ready for them here. I know that the Eagles have had longer to get ready, but it won't be enough in my estimation. New England minus 10, and I think they're going to roll.
I'm going to take the points. This is a recommendation for me. I know it's really ugly, but who's Tom Brady going to throw the ball to in this game? I think
Brandon LaFell.
Unless it be, is that enough? I mean,
Scott,
really? Brandon
Scott
LaFell?
Chandler?
That's going to.
Scott Chandler?
Listen to who you're saying. Brandon LaFell, Scott Chandler, are you kidding me? Look, I was so mad on Thanksgiving. Like, I didn't even enjoy my meal because I was watching the Eagles, and you know how these things kind of go, sort of. It was such a gutless, lay-down effort. Now, they lost their best cornerback, and Calvin Johnson abused his replacement. That wasn't fun. But to watch such a hideous play unfold, because I recommended the Eagles last week, and then, like, have your family, you know, why would you recommend the Eagles? That was just, was I just pissed. I was already stabbed my entire family with a fork, okay? You know, my brother's like, but when I told my brother, I'm like, hey, man, I'm 60%. I'm doing well this season. He's like, 60%? Isn't that a D? I'm like, yeah, how's your career going, pal? Like, get back to me. Okay. I was unloading on my family, Ricky. I'll tell you what, then when Dallas lost too, I was just burying my entire family by 7 p.m. But I just think that unless the Eagles are shut out here, I think they're going to find enough offense to cover a generous spread. I mean, aren't Belichick and Chip Kelly friends too, or something like that? Like
they
maybe
are.
Belichick takes it easy on the old lad this time. Shows some rare mercy. So I'm gonna take the points with Philadelphia. I know it's risky going against New England off a loss, but
I just
don't think New England's gonna move the ball here. I don't.
All right. So we got the Sunday nighter, the Monday nighter, and my big three. The Sunday nighter is the 6-5 Colts at the 6-5 Steelers, 8:30 Eastern Time, Heinz Field in Pittsburgh on NBC. Michaels, Collinsworth, Tafoya on the call. And Pittsburgh is laying 7 points up from 6 initially. And a lot of my picks recently have been about things that I think are due to come to an end. And this whole Matt Hasselbeck revival. I just hear the record scratch sound coming on Sunday night abruptly. And I just can't be any more specific than that. But Pittsburgh, in a game that they really need to stay in the wild card hunt at this point, I like them covering the 7.
Pittsburgh really let a lot of people down as a dog. Like, everybody was on them against Seattle last week. And that garbage touchdown they gave up was a real day maker for the books out in Vegas, I can tell you that. I'm not willing to lay the 7 here, especially because I don't know about Ben Roethlisberger's status. I completely agree with everything you just said about Matt Hasselbeck. I know I sent you an email last week kind of echoing those sentiments. They've been outgained in every game with Hasselbeck, which I would like to make into a big deal, but the fact is the Colts have been outgained in all but one game this year. That's the worst in the league. I'm not sure Houston may not unseat this team in the AFC South. I meant to say that earlier when we talked about Texans Bills. I'm passing here because the Colts are still due to lose some close games, so I could see them losing this one by like a field goal or 6 points or something like that, and the number coming into play.
Okay. We go to another fine Monday night turd following up on Baltimore-Cleveland with the 3-8 Cowboys at the 5-6 Redskins. See ESPN? That's what happens when you let Alderman, Simmons et al. Run their mouths about the NFL. This is the schedule you get. 8:30 Eastern time, FedEx Field in Landover. Yeah, exactly. Tirico Gruden.
It goes back further than that.
They've never had good slates, but we're like in the punishment
era. I told you this before. There's somebody in the – I forgot who told me this. There's somebody in the NFL office in charge of scheduling that, like, ESPN fired. He used to work when it was ABC on ESPN, and they fired that whole division ESPN. And this guy is, like, I guess has, like, I don't know how true this is, but, like, apparently this guy, like, has it out for ESPN. And the reality is ESPN, short of last week, can, like, promote any game fairly well. So why waste a good game on ESPN? And at the beginning of the year, that you would have thought this was a good game. Unfortunately, they don't have the option of flex. That's another issue for them. I mean, you know, Dallas usually brings them in, but they're not going to bring them in here.
That matters as well. Washington was laying the standard missionary position 3 at the outset. Now it's up to 4.5. Feeling like there's a little bit of inflation here on the Redskins.
Yes.
Of like, OMG, so tough at home. Plus, Dallas has nobody at quarterback at this point. But, again, I look for another penis-punching 16-13 effort from the Cowboys. Give me Dallas to sneak in the back door.
Oh, yes, Ricky Morris. I wish why aren't these part of your big three? I love these plays so much when they come from you. The Cowboys are my second-to-last recommendation. I love them. For the same thing you just said, everyone's going to start all Monday, I guarantee, and you just hit on it. You're going to hear about how good Washington is at home. And what do we always say about Kirk Cousins, Ricky? Fade him after a good performance. I'm on the Cowboys here. A good value as a division dog.
I would agree. We get to my big three. A disappointing week last week, 0-3. I am 17-19 for the year. 5 weeks left, still time to rally. The rally starts here, folks. It's the 4-7 Jags at the 2-9 Titans, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Nissan Stadium in Nashville on CBS. Brian Anderson, Chris Sims on the call. And remarkably in this game, it's gone from a pick to Tennessee minus 2.5. And that's my sign to jump on Jacksonville. It's my road dog special here. Out of the three, I will take Jags.
you and I have been disagreeing about this for some time, and I think it's becoming more apparent during the year, with all due respect, who's been right on this, the talent gap between the Jags and the Titans. And the Jags are not they're not the 73-72 Dolphins, brother. I'll give you that, but they're a lot better than the Titans. Titans have been in a downward spiral. I think Jacksonville's a lot better, and it starts with having a quarterback who's got 1 year under his belt, rather than being a rookie. I will take Jacksonville and the 2.5 here, the road dog special. Oh, you didn't know, as part of my big three.
See, I don't know where this was ever a pick. I don't know where you're seeing that. I think it opened at 2, Tennessee minus 2. The line hasn't been that severe. Yeah, but I have Tennessee still rated as a better team than Jacksonville. I think Tennessee is – they're not a good team. But on top of not being good, they're also unlucky. They're 1-5 in close games this year. Another heartbreaker last week at home against the Raiders. They had a heartbreaker a couple weeks ago against this Jags team. I thought they outplayed in Jacksonville on a Thursday night. I think people – it's not quite as severe as it was with the Raiders when people were pronouncing, oh, the Raiders are back. And then they kind of fell in their face. But, you know, last week the Jags had no business laying all those points to the Chargers. I think they come back, and I think they lay an egg against Tennessee. The only team in the league is Tennessee to have not won a home game. They are just due. Come on, Tennessee. My final recommendation of the week.
Not going to happen, but we'll see how
that
goes.
Very severe.
Well, okay. See, this is not
Tennessee's
the game.
Come on, Tennessee.
Okay. All right, we continue to disagree on that. We continue. The next one is an NFC West matchup. It's the 9-2 Cards at the 4-7 Rams. 1 o'clock Eastern time at the Edward Jones Dome, in St. Louis on Fox. Chris Myers, Rondé Barber, and past lounge guest Jennifer Hale on the call. And the Arizona's laying 5.5 in this one. Look, you know how I hate picking Rams games. Either way.
I don't know what you're doing here.
It shows you how much I struggled picking three games out this week that I'm going this way. But, again,
you should have gone with San Diego or Dallas in your big three.
This to me is not a biorhythms game. I am not ready to say that Jeff Fisher is going to turn it around here with the Rams. They still don't know what they're doing at quarterback. Gurley has kind of come back to earth a little bit relative to where he started earlier in the year. Arizona continues to roll. I like them laying the 5.5 here.
They're a huge public play, the Cardinals, this week, which is predictable because they have revenge. Remember, the Rams beat them early in the year in one of those St. Louis head-scratchers. I'm actually not going to disagree with you here. It's very difficult to make a case on the Rams given their recent ineptitude. I would lean heavier towards the under if we have any totals players out there. I could see the Cardinals like winning this game, I don't know, like 20-7 or something like that. So I think the under is a little bit of a sharper play here than laying the point. But, you know, then again, I could see the favorite under combo cashing very well in this game.
Yeah, I kind of like the sound of that. We go to my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 13. That's the 7-4 Packers at the 4-7 Lions. 8:25 Eastern time Thursday night at Ford Field in Detroit on CBS. Both these teams coming off Thanksgiving Day games. Nance Sims and Wolfson with the call on, it says here CBS and the NFL Network. I think that's a cue here from USA Today Sports Weekly. I don't think it's a CBS game. Could be wrong.
You love pointing out their miscues.
Yeah, I think it's a typo on their part. Look, I'm just going to go with a simple macro here. Is Green Bay going to lose twice to Detroit and once to Chicago at home in the same season? I don't think so. A get-well game for Green Bay. They started off laying 5.5. It's down to 3. Give me the pack here. This is a get-well effort for them. I know they screwed me last week. They won't screw me again.
The public talk keeps betting them heavy, too. And like the last game, though, it's one where I can't chastise the public too much. You know, I'm kind of with you. I mean, is Green Bay really going to lose to them again? I mean, are they that bad? I'm just a little leery because I think this line is way too low and the number hasn't rocketed up despite the public betting. So I think someone's taking – they're actually, like, smart people maybe taking the Lions, which really scares me. But I would actually be more inclined to agree with you here. If there was ever a road favorite I was going to take, it might be this one, but I'm not going to recommend it. No.
Well – You can't be that smart and take the Lions. That's all I know. But your picks for this week, Tennessee, New Orleans, San Diego, Philadelphia, and Dallas. My picks for this week are Arizona, Jacksonville, and Green Bay as my lock. Been great back doing the show with you here this week, my friend. Looking forward to week 14 next week and a great week of football in the interim.
Okay, sounds good.
That'll be awesome. Take care, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to FDH Lounge mini episode number 649.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.